Zaslow will be giving the service talk entitled, Help People to Become Reconciled to God, Zealously Persevere in Your Efforts. So friends, it's good to be with you for this special week of activity. Let's see if I can lift this somewhere. And last week we were with the Rideau congregation down in Ottawa, 194 at the memorial on a Sunday night. And I heard you had a real good group here at your memorial. How many were you again?
107.
107. Isn't that great, eh, for 64 publishers. So we had a rented hall down there. We were right beside the Hunt Club congregation, who had about 150, 160 or so. So quite a few were in attendance. And if you think about the worldwide memorial attendance this year, will we hit 19, 20 million? Who knows? And all these auxiliary pioneers also around the world with the 30-hour quota. So many exciting things that are happening in God's organization. So we'd like to bring you the love, the greetings of the Rideau congregation that we served last week. So there were two special pioneers that did not go out in service for two whole weeks. And they were not sick, and they were not on vacation. What had happened? They had been traveling 15 kilometers to conduct a Bible study with an interested person. And this was not an easy task for the pioneers. You see, they had to wade through mud. They had to cross through flooding rivers. They came all the way up to their necks. It involved balancing their clothes on their head, navigating the river, and then getting dressed again on the other side. Well, the interested person's neighbors were so impressed with their zeal, including a local religious leader, that he said to his followers, "Don't you want to be like those two Jehovah's Witnesses? Look at how zealous they are." Well, the next day, many of his followers came to the pioneers' home to find out why they were so zealous, and they had so many visitors for the next 2 weeks that they didn't have to go door to door. Everybody was coming to their house just in a flood-like way. The end result, the religious leader ended up accepting a home Bible study. So we have many, many experiences in our publications. Even last Sunday in the Watchtower, there were experiences like that. But how did these types of experiences make you feel, brothers and sisters? One sister, she said to me, "To be honest, these types of experiences depress me." Depress you? Why? She said, "Well, every time I hear about brothers walking 20 miles to the meetings in crocodile-infested rivers, fighting off piranhas, you know, in blazing heat, well, I don't know, I just get depressed." Why? Why was that poor sister feeling so discouraged? Well, could it be that she was maybe jumping to a negative conclusion about herself? Thinking that she could never do anything like that? Well, at times, brothers, we can fall into negative comparisons, and it's a real trap for us. So what is really the right point of view that we want to adopt regarding zeal? Zeal is something inside ourselves that is expressed according to our personal circumstances. So that's a key point we want to keep in mind tonight. So zeal is something inside that we express according to our unique and personal circumstances. So I'd like to tell you a couple of experiences that come from our circuit that really illustrate to this point. We have a sister in our circuit named Tina. Tina's elderly. She's very, very sick. She suffers from extreme depression and cannot hardly leave her home. I cannot really attend the meetings, and this has gone on for decades. English is not her first language, but Tina, she reads four chapters of the Bible every day, and whenever she can, she shares in phone witnessing. So recently, she was doing some of this with her partner, Kirsten, and going along, a little telephone call with this lady, And the lady says, I can't understand a thing you're saying, Mrs. All I can understand is the word Bible. So Tina, you know, undeterred, she passed the phone to Kirsten. What happened? Well, Kirsten started a Bible study with this woman. And a few Sundays ago, Kathy attended the study with the lady. It lasted about 2 hours. And afterwards, she said, I've rarely met a woman that was so hungry for the truth. She says she's just eating it all up, and said, I really have to get to know Jehovah God. So if you asked Tina now, Tina, if you had better health, if you found yourself in a situation where you had to, forge through mud and cross flooding rivers to get to the meetings or to go on service, what would Tina say? She would say, sure, of course I would. But the truth is that for now she can't, and she doesn't have to, does she? But would you say that Tina is not a zealous publisher of the good news? Of course she is. So the point is, friends, be careful. Be really careful of negative comparisons. Or do not quickly shortchange yourself or hastily conclude that you are not a zealous publisher because of what you're presently able to do. If you found yourself in a difficult situation, no doubt you would do just as well, maybe even better than some. We know that many of you elderly ones and infirm ones in the congregation, you're doing amazing spiritual things. And we think of some of our elderly ones that are auxiliary pioneering this month, and it's just outstanding. Can't wait to write Bethel all about what you're doing. There's another sister in our circuit who is suffering from extreme arthritis. She's down in the Brockville area. And this sister cannot get out of the ministry the way she would like, and she was taking some type of an online course. She quickly identified herself to some of the other students as one of Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, one woman taking the same course, she said, would you please phone me as soon as possible? So our sister did that. The woman said this, I'm confused. My neighbor has been telling me we should pray for our troops at war. It doesn't sound right to me. You Jehovah's Witnesses know your Bible, so tell me, would God listen to a prayer like that? Well, the lady was from Pennsylvania, and our sister got a long-distance plan for the United States and started witnessing to her by phone, sent her a Bible teach book, sent her a Bible, and a study was started. The lady is now going to meetings. She's bringing her kids. And at our circuit assembly, the sister came up and she said, guess what I just found out?
Uh-oh.
That she is an inactive sister, inactive for about 30 years. When she was 15, she left the church. And now she's decided that she's going to come back. So, would you say that the angels were directing our arthritic, elderly, sickly sister towards her? No doubt. So would you say she's zealous in the ministry? How about this one? Rosa is suffering from serious health problems. She cannot go door to door like when she was younger or feeling better. But Rosa, she does whatever she can. And this winter was a balmy minus 29 on a Saturday morning. And to our surprise, special week activity, there was Rosa at service. So her son, he brought her downtown Ottawa. And while everybody was going door to door in the cold, Rosa was parked with the window rolled down, and she was preaching to everyone that was passing by. And before we got back and had placed zero, Rosa had placed 8 or 10 magazines in our absence. And her son says, you know, every time I bring her out, she beats me every time with her placements. Not that we're into competition, but you get the idea. So, you see, no matter what our circumstances, we can be zealous, right? We can do what we're able to do. So, friends, if you, right now, you're presently doing your best, you're to be warmly commended for your excellent efforts. In the theme of our discussion tonight, there are two qualities that are mentioned. Did you pick up on them? If not, let's go to Revelation 7 and 10 to refresh your memory. And you'll see in this verse, both are quite nicely brought out. So that's Revelation 7 and verse 10. And they keep on crying with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation we owe to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." So quality number one, did you notice it? It says that they keep on crying out, so that would be what? Perseverance? And what kind of a voice do they use when they're crying out? A loud voice, so that would be zeal. So zeal and perseverance. Let's talk about these for a moment. The word zeal actually comes from the Greek word zelos. And some Bible commentators have suggested that the word zelos actually mimics the sound of boiling water, and is perhaps derived from the Greek word zeo, to boil. So a person who is zealous for the ministry is not like a cold, still pot of water, nor is he like a block of ice, right? But he's more like a pot of water that's at a steady boil. And I'm sure we've all watched this happen. A pot of water boiling ever so often will bubble over. So a zealous Christian, in a similar way, will bubble over regularly with enthusiasm and fervor, eagerness to share the good news. In Romans 1 and verse 15, Paul actually used that word in reference to himself and his attitude towards the preaching work. So let's check that out. Romans 1 and 15. He said here, "So there is eagerness on my part to declare the good news also to you there in Rome." So he couldn't wait, right? Couldn't wait to get there, to be able to share the good news with the brothers in Rome. So it's good for us, friends, to think about our attitude. Do the words eager or fervent, enthusiastic, boiling, bubbling over, do these terms really describe us and our attitude and our shared ministry? What would be one of the main reasons why we should share with zeal and perseverance? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. "We are therefore ambassadors substituting for Christ, as though God were making entreaty through us. As substitutes for Christ, we beg, become reconciled to God." Let's focus in on the expression, become reconciled to God. To reconcile means to bring back into harmony, or to cause to be friendly again, to adjust, or to settle, as in reconciling differences. Why would such reconciliation be necessary with Jehovah God? Well, it's because of this alienation that's existed, or this separation from God and man, a lack of friendly relations. And this, of course, came about because of Adam and his sin. So what would be the only basis now for reconciliation with Jehovah God? Well, on Sunday evening we spoke about that at length, didn't we? The ransom sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So what is our role in this verse? Verse 20 describes us as ambassadors. Well, what does that mean? In ancient times, ambassadors were sent out in times of war to arrange for terms of peace. So Jehovah, through us, enables humans to learn of his terms for peace and reconciliation and how they can avail themselves of such. If they become reconciled to Jehovah God, their lives are saved. But if they stay in that state of alienation, enemies of Jehovah God, they will die in their sins. So our role is very vital, isn't it? It's saving lives. Lives are hanging in the balance. And that is why at the end of that verse, in verse 20, it says that we're really begging people to come and become reconciled, to become friends once again with Jehovah God. Who do you think would be the greatest examples of zeal and perseverance? Well, that's easy. Jehovah God and Jesus. If you go to Isaiah chapter 9, we'll notice how Jehovah is described as very, very zealous. Isaiah 9, we're going to read together verse 7. abundance of the princely rule and to peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, in order to establish it firmly and to sustain it by means of justice and by means of righteousness from now on and to time indefinite. Notice the very zeal of Jehovah of armies will do this. So in verse 7 we're talking about all the blessings of Christ's rulership. But how do we know that Jesus will for sure rule and take control? End of verse 7. The very zeal of Jehovah of armies will do this. How can we be sure that all the nations are going to have a witness before the end comes? The very zeal of Jehovah of armies. Right? So it's a guarantee. The fact that Jehovah has this this profound desire will make sure that the preaching work is accomplished. How about the second greatest example of zeal, that of Jesus? Well, we're going to go to Luke chapter 13 now to examine together an important episode in Jesus' life. And what we want to keep in mind here is when Jesus gave this illustration, Luke 13:6-9, it was given in the fall of 32 CE. And we're going to learn at the same time that just before Jesus finished his mandate to preach, well, he actually accelerated or intensified his preaching work. And that's what's brought out in this short illustration, where he said a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, but found none. Then he said to the vine dresser, "Here it is 3 years that I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. Cut it down. Why really should it keep the ground useless?" In reply, he said to him, "Master, let it alone also this year until I dig around it and put on manure. And if then it produces fruit in the future, well and good, but if not, you shall cut it down." So how did this illustration play out in Jesus' life? Keep in mind that when he gave it, he had already been preaching to the Jews for about 3 years. He was working hard to cultivate faith among these faithless ones. However, late in his ministry, Jesus decided to intensify his activity. And that's what's referenced here as digging around the tree and fertilizing it with manure. He was hoping that by fertilizing intensely the Jewish nation, that eventually that they would produce some spiritual fruitage, hoping that it would grow. But what happened? Sadly, just a few days before his death, Jesus wept for his countrymen. He accepted the fact that they had rejected the Messiah, and there was nothing to do. So in spite of his best efforts, the Jewish tree would have to be cut down and would not produce any fruit. But the point is, do you think that this was due to any negligence on Jesus' part? Not at all. Right up until the end, he had fertilized abundantly. So friends, we can learn a powerful example here. When did Jesus do this? It was towards the close of his ministry. So in a similar way, as we near the end of our mandate to preach, just before the Great Tribulation strikes, what should we be doing? Should we be slowing down or accelerating? We should be working hard and showing zeal and perseverance. Any loss of life at Armageddon, which is sure to happen, should not be because of any indifference on our part or any negligence in our fertilizing this symbolic tree. If we take a good look around us, the floor and the walls and the chairs, even our own body, we know that we're surrounded by matter and we are composed of matter. And scientists tell us that all types of matter are composed of atoms of one sort or another. They also tell us that atoms are in constant motion. The faster that atoms go, the hotter they get. And the slower they go, the colder they become. And a hot substance or matter that is heated up can share its heat with one that is colder. So how do these basic principles of physics apply to Christians? Let's go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. especially the middle part of verse 11, Romans 12. It says here, do not loiter at your business, be aglow with the Spirit, slave for Jehovah. So we're all encouraged here to be aglow with the Spirit, or another translation says, be on fire with the Spirit. So in a spiritual sense, the hotter that we become, the more we can share our heat with our brothers and sisters, or even people in the territory. Interesting experience. There was a woman whose neighbors were Jehovah's Witnesses, and although she did not like the Witnesses, she admired their conduct, especially their home life. She noticed that the husband and wife had a very good relationship, and that the children were quite obedient. And she particularly noted that the husband dearly loved his wife. Now, a common belief in some African cultures is that if a husband loves his wife, the wife must have used some magic to tame him. So this woman, she approached the witness wife and she said, would you please give me that magic you gave to your husband so that my husband would love me as much as yours loves you? The sister said, oh yes, no problem. I'll bring it to you tomorrow afternoon. So the next day the sister visited her neighbor with the magic, the Bible and the study manual. After considering the information, she said to the woman, this is the magic that my husband and I use to tame each other, and that is why we love each other so very much. As you can imagine, a Bible study was started, the lady progressed, and now she's serving Jehovah God. So how did it all start? Well, with the witness family, through their good conduct, through their zeal, they actually heated up, right, this other family, their neighbors that were nearby them. So we should never underestimate the value of our good conduct or how our zeal is noticed by people around us. So how about your congregation? Are you zealous? Are you perseverant? Definitely. 34 auxiliary pioneers in April, plus 7 regular pioneers, that gives you 41, your total, which is 64% of the congregation pioneering this month. And another interesting figure it came up with this afternoon is 84% of the elders, ministerial servants, and their wives are also in some type of full-time service this month. In the last 6 months, you've had 1 baptized, 2 reactivated, so that's just like finding a new 2 new publishers, and there are 0 irregular publishers in the congregation. So 64 publishers, 64 regular in the ministry. And as mentioned, 103 at your memorial. So it's good to see that Smiths Falls here is being blessed by Jehovah God, especially this zealous spirit that you're showing. You may have heard the following expressions at a certain point. Well, that guy, he's a real ball of fire. Or he or she is all fired up. Or she's setting the world on fire. When you hear these, what type of person do you visualize? Well, someone who's zealous, full of enthusiasm, vigor, and ardor. But if we contrast those expressions with this expression, you know, you're going to have to light a fire under him. Quite different, isn't it? So we should ask ourselves, which of these expressions describe me as a Christian? You know, are we all fired up? Do we have fire in the belly? Are we setting the world on fire? Or does somebody have to light a fire under us? Well, you know, it's all right. Even if we're not on fire for now, Jehovah can light a fire under us, can't he? By inciting us to think about him, his personality, how we love him, and how we want other people to be saved at Armageddon. This week we have ample opportunity to be all fired up about the ministry. The group arrangements, according to our little list that we provided, will be at 9 and 1:15, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So that's easy to remember here at the Kingdom Hall. And if you're able to come to the groups, even if you're just going to work, pop in for 15 minutes. We'd love to see you. If you attend all of the group arrangements all week long, you get an extra 2 hours of teaching this week. So that's a nice little bonus, eh? At tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock, the meeting with the auxiliary pioneers and the regular pioneers. So all of the auxiliaries for the month of April are welcome to come to that meeting for the whole hour. That's a nice arrangement from the Faithful Slave. The theme is principles from Romans 12 that apply to pioneer service. And if you'd like to bring your children, instead of sending them off or worrying about getting a babysitter, bring the kids. We'd love to see them at the meeting, too. At tomorrow night, 6:30, meeting with the elders and servants. The theme is enhance your appreciation for sacred things. At Thursday night, 7 p.m., as usual, we'll have our Bible study and then service talk. Hear Jehovah's voice wherever you are. So we'll be talking about how Jehovah's voice can be muted or muffled, drowned out by the world, and how we have to have clear reception of his voice and how we can do that. Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, is that the normal time for your group? When do you normally have it?
9:30.
Okay, let's put it at 9:30. I'll stick with your schedule. Okay, so Saturday morning, 9:30, just change that. And Saturday afternoon, we'll be meeting with the brothers handling literature and magazines along with the service committee at 12:30. And that's about a 45-minute meeting, so we'll be able to get back to your families after. Public talk, 10 o'clock Sunday morning. How does the truth affect your life? Very, very basic talk. There's lots of experiences, perfect for the public. So if you'd like to invite your studies and families. And we finish up with what is your true value? That talk, among other things, will discuss depression, what leads to depression. Sometimes we feel worthless, valueless, and unloved, unlovable. So how can we think clearly so as to help ourselves feel a little better in that area? And after the final talk, 11:30, we'll go and service, have our group together. So friends, Titus 2 and verse 14. Let's finish up with one little thought. What can we learn here? Titus 2 and 14. Well, it says, who gave himself for us, that he might deliver us from every sort of lawlessness, and cleanse for himself a people peculiarly his own, but here's the point, zealous for fine works. So let's have that as our determination, to be zealous for fine works. In other words, let's never freeze up into a motionless state. We compared ourselves to this boiling pot of water that bubbles over regularly. We don't want to be like a frozen block of ice in the truth. We want to be aglow for Jehovah and for his cause. And may our zeal and may our perseverance allow many people in our territory to become reconciled to Jehovah God. So our final song is number 96. We're invited to sing together, after which Brother Clifford Allen will...